Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.ronizone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
With that interesting music, that must mean that it's the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast.
Yes, it is. The live show.
It is the live show. It is a live show for April 28th, 2012. Yes. Mm-hmm. It is a Saturday. I won't do the weather. We'll just stop right there.
Okay.
So welcome to everyone in the chat room, and I thank you for taking the time to learn the new process. I know it's tough to go from Mixlr to Ustream. Mm-hmm. Some people, it's tough. And thank you for trying. We've done tutorials, and we can post those if you still need them or whatever. But I really appreciate that.
The deputies are already on that in the chat room.
Yes. Yes.
They rock.
I just want to take a quick second and really thank the deputies for what they do. I cannot do it all.
No.
And I thank them so much for hanging in there. I know they got full lives too. I know they got all kind of things going
on. That's
true. But I really, really appreciate them. It's so cool to see someone ask a question on Twitter, and before I can even type it in, they're already sending out links. Mm-hmm. Of the tutorials and that kind of a thing.
Yep.
Whenever we do something, I do want to help people to participate, because I think it is, some people are technical, other people aren't. So anyway, just thanks to the deputy so much for all that you do. And it's really, really appreciated. So we are going to first before... Now, see, this is where I get myself into trouble.
Okay.
Because this is a live show. It's kind of more laid back.
It is.
And it's not whatever.
Right.
But I prank called you.
did indeed.
Now, this goes outside the realm of Once Upon a Time, but this is the live show. It's kind of silly.
It is. So.
I prank called you.
Well, but let's go back. Before what prompted the prank call.
All right.
So Tuesday night.
Right.
I'm getting ready for bed. I'd fallen asleep on the couch because I'm getting old and that happens. So I fell asleep on the couch and I thought, oh, it's almost 11. I got to go to bed. So I get ready for bed. And right 1 minute after 11, the power shuts off in the house. Like completely gone. Out. Nothing like, not like a spike. It was off. Off, off, off. So I sat there and thought, okay, well, a couple more minutes and it'll come back on. And I'm fidgeting with my phone, which thankfully was in the bathroom with me while I'm taking my makeup off and brushing my hair and brushing my teeth. And I decide after about 10 minutes, I can't sleep. I need to know when the power's come back on. And I need to make sure it's been reported. So I called our local electric company. And I left, a reported message on their automated system. And I thought, okay, a couple minutes, it should come back on. And I went to bed, laid in bed. You're snoring away, just sleeping.
I don't snore. I never heard myself.
You snore.
I don't snore.
Sometimes very loudly.
Okay.
But you're snoring away, and I'm thinking, oh, lucky you. I wish I was asleep right now. So after another 20 minutes, I'm still laying there. I'm hot because there's no fans going because there's no electricity. I'm nervous that I'm not going to hear my alarm and get up in the morning to go to work. So I decide to try and call Edison again. So I call, and because it's in the dark and I'm using my phone and I'm half asleep, I push the wrong house number. So that automatically connected me to a live person. And so she asked me what was going on. I said, well, I'm still without power. Kind of wanted to check and see what's going on. And she said, oh, there's about 1,700 customers without power. Would you like us to give you a phone call when it comes back on? No, it's 11:45. I would really like to be asleep. So if it comes on at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't want to be awakened. So I hang up with her, and like 5 minutes later, it comes on. I get everything all set up. I close off all the lights. Yay, I feel comfortable. So the next morning, I'm at work and I'm sitting there and I'm really focused on what I'm doing. And my phone rings and I see a number that I don't recognize. It's a local area code number. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's a telemarketer somehow. You know, and I thought, all right, I'm going to just see who it is. And when I picked up the phone, I hear, hi, this is John from Southern California Edison. And so I went into, is this Mrs. Ronnie? And I went into telemarketer mode. And I'm, because you mispronounced our name.
Right.
So then I said, this is Mrs. Ronnie. And then the voice on the other end says, I'm really sorry, Mrs. Ronnie. So this is John at Southern California Edison. And we really wanted to apologize for the inconvenience for having your power go out last night. And to make it up to you, we'd like to send you a pizza. Okay, that's a little weird. And I thought, okay, is he flirting with me? Does he think I'm single or something? I don't know what this is all about. So then I say, yeah, pizza, really not necessary. But what I would like to know is what caused this. And the response I got was, oh, your next door neighbor's been playing Xbox 360 so much that it caused a blackout. And that's what I knew. It was you.
Right.
You called me from your desk phone.
You bought it.
I did. I totally did. Thing. Well, but here's the thing. You were, this is why I love you, because you're hilarious and you're brilliant. Mm. You did the right thing by mispronouncing our name, because I went into automatic telemarketer mode when I heard the name, because they all mispronounce it. See, always.
Character flaw becomes genius.
It does.
Well, all right. Ugh. I won't go into it, but I have a huge past of making prank phone calls, but we won't tell any more stories.
We won't tell any more stories here, but trust me, maybe we'll share some at the meetup and some other places.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
That would be probably best. So it looks like some folks are having trouble with Ustream, and I think I've cursed it by saying how wonderful everything is. So hang in there, and we'll get you on there, but we will move forward.
Okay.
And I want to continue on with first thing I want to go to this email I received from Katie. She needs some help. And the We're a Fan podcast.
Yes.
There are a lot of Once Upon a Time podcasts. Mm-hmm. We're the Fan podcast.
Yes.
And I want to be open and helpful to every fan group there is, whatever you draw, if you dress up in a costume, if you do videos, if you write fan fiction, we're the place that we're here for you. And so all the different fan groups are welcome here, and we want to help you. And I remember Princess a Dreamer needed some help with the project she was doing for the Evil Regals, and we helped her out.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I got an email from Katie, and I'm going to read it really fast. It's about a photo project for Lana. So it says, hey, Jeff and Once Upon a Time podcast crew, I've started this Lana Perea recreation photo project out of fun, but now I want to get more involved with the fans. I hope you guys can help me with it. The idea of the project is to recreate any of the Regina Mills or Evil Queen. Wow, let me try it again. Or Evil Queen screen cap from any episode. That's kind of cool. Recreate. It can be simple, and I want it to be fun. Here are the basic rules. Pick a screen cap from any episode of Once Upon a Time, which can be found here, and I will put that in the Ustream, and we'll also put okay. it on the... Okay, here's that. Also put it in the show notes as well.
Okay.
It could be of the Evil Queen or Regina Mills, either one. Recreate. I said recreation. It's recreation. Sorry. I should have gone back and took another nap. Recreate that scene in your own photo. Send it to me along with the screen cap. They can be two different files. I'll put them together for you if you have problems. And it's at, and then I'll put the link there to the email with the subject line, Evil Regals. Please include Twitter names if you have one. If not, first names. And where you're from. The deadline is May 19th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Here's a link to my blog page that restates this information. So I'll put that in Ustream.
Cool.
Thanks again, guys, for your help. And really love the podcast. And we are happy to help you all the time. So that's what we're about. Boom. Okay, so there's a link to check that out. So it's a fun project.
Very cool. Yeah, it sounds like it'd be really cool.
And I want to keep that so for later. All right. So fun photo project, and the Evil Regals always doing some kind of a cool thing. And if the other groups have other cool things going on, please don't take offense. Let me know about it.
Yeah.
And we will certainly help you out, because that's what we're about. So another thing that we're about is Holly Mom has put together a homeless charity. Mm-hmm. And it's for a local charity in her area in Indiana.
Yes.
And I'd like Colleen to kind of talk a little more about that.
Okay. So what we're doing is the homeless in the summertime, really, I think a lot of people forget that they need summer weight clothing, things like flip-flops and t-shirts and such. So what Holly Mom Kimberly has put together is a way for us to send some items to her. And of course the blog post is up on the site, so go ahead and take care of that. But if you can donate items, what we'll do is once we have confirmation that we've received a donation, either clothing, oh, and you can also do money as well. Once we have received confirmation that you have donated, make sure you put your name, your Twitter name, and a return email address or something like that so we can get a hold of you. We have four trading cards that Slay Cat graciously created for us. They're grumpy and they're very cool. They're small little cards, but they're really, really neat. She did a great job on them. And a little birdie helped us and got Lee Ehrenberg to sign those. So we want to give those away to four random folks who donate to this worthy cause. So again, the information is up on our site, so please check it out. We'll give you guys a few more weeks to send those things in. I know we just announced it last week, so whatever you can put together, that'd be great. All right, anything else? Am I missing
one
something?
One of the questions I had is it kind of one donation and then you're put in a drawing? I mean, what if somebody did kind of multiple? I just want to ask.
Oh, well,
she's in the chat room. I mean, if she wants to kind of...
I would think that, you know, we don't want to have, you know, maybe level the playing field a little bit. And,
okay.
You know, donate as much as you can if you can do it in multiple ways. But let's put your name in once. I don't want to have too many people...
Okay.
Because then you get... I mean, as much as we want to get items, yep. I don't want to have too many people going, well, I only had one chance. And
got it.
So, you know what I'm saying? I think it's one opportunity for this, okay. But... definitely donate as much as you can.
Yep.
And yeah. So like I said, check out the information on the site and it's all good.
All right. Perfect. Now, the deputies are putting together and going to release another Why I Love Once Upon a Time video.
Yay.
The last one was so much fun. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And it is so neat to watch this video and to see the thoughts of the people. How Once Upon a Time, why they love it, and how it affects them. And it's really, really neat. So it's, they're going to release another one probably right around the end of the show tonight. So, but I wanted you to get ready for it and let you know that it's coming. So,
okay.
Excellent.
Cool.
And the Disneyland meetup, I think we kind of touched on that.
Yeah, we did.
A little bit. We are putting together a headcount just so we know. Not only, you know, here's the thing. I'm not trying to get nosy and snoopy and all this, but it's like, not only do we want to know how many people are coming to kind of get an idea, because we're doing little swag things here and there. And so we want a head count, but we also want to know if there's things we need to consider. Some folks have scooters. Some folks have wheelchairs.
Right.
Some folks have young children. And so when we kind of pick different things that we're doing, I just want to make sure that everybody can participate. And Disneyland's really good.
Extremely accommodating. So, but we want to make sure so that we can plan some of the activities and make sure we can accommodate. No matter what we do, there's nothing we really can't do there. We just want to make sure we think ahead when we plan for this. So.
And it's time also, because obviously if someone needs a little more time to kind of get from point A to point B, we don't want to schedule so much. So the thing that, I wanted to really say right now is we are scheduling activities for the 2 days, but they're not going to be one every hour or that kind of a thing.
Right.
The thought is it's going to be in a 2 hour block of time so that we not only can ride the ride or whatever, but also kind of have some time after to kind of chat and gather up and, you know, pass out some little things. We're going to have some prizes and different things throughout the 2 days.
Right.
And so it gives also people some time who may not want to kind of hang around, and it's not to be mean, but just it's Disneyland. And so if folks maybe not want to ride rides with us, cause we're going to ride certain rides, and maybe they want to take off and with a small group and check out something else, that's totally fine. So we're not going to totally book up the time for the 2 days.
In other words, you're going to have plenty of free time to do other stuff and, you know, maybe go off in little groups together and hang, do something until the next time you get to go, you know, until the next scheduled meetup.
Right.
So, and by meetup, I mean each of the events within our weekend is called considered a meetup itself. So, it's gonna be fun. We're gonna have a blast.
Absolutely.
It's gonna be, you know, we're gonna have some scheduled stuff, but we're gonna have some very loosey goosey stuff where you can just kind of fly by the seat of our pants kind of a thing. So, I think we're gonna have a lot of fun.
Well, and what's really nice is in September, it's going to be after the new Cars Land has been opened in California Adventure. So that's a whole brand new thing I haven't even seen, obviously, because it's not open as yet.
Yeah.
So anyway, we are going to schedule some activities. We are going to have roundtable lunch on Saturday.
Yep.
And we're going to record that. I did do some tests, and I was able to, and this is geeky, I'm sorry, I was able to broadcast on Ustream from my iPhone on the train in Disneyland.
Yep.
Now, I wish I had a portable generator for the power it needed, because it was using up power like crazy.
Yeah.
But it was able to happen. So
I think we'll be able to fix that.
Yeah. So either we can do maybe with a laptop, with your laptop, we can do some type of a live something at some point.
Right.
And I really want to give everybody involved who couldn't attend and to be a part of it and at least kind of interact and see what's happening. So I'm really excited about that. And it's a lot of unknowns, but that's really what my thought was with that. So,
to remind everybody, the dates are September 15th and 16th. Mm-hmm. That's a Saturday, Sunday. You know, obviously if you can come in, you know, a day or two earlier and hang out a day or two afterwards, that'd be great too. But the official scheduled planned meetup stuff is the 15th and 16th. And for those that may come in a little early, let us know and maybe we'll plan a little kind of get together somewhere over in downtown Disney area the night before. So just kind of want to,
we're not too far. So
yeah, we're not, we're not very far at all.
The, I did not plan. Now, we can do it, although I would be, I'll put away my happy and I'll be grumpy. If people want to do the line drop, that's way early. And that's not a schedule thing, because I kind of want people to have some time for breakfast, coffee,
Right.
That kind of a thing. So
we'll plan those things. We'll get a schedule going. We'll fine tune that and we'll let you guys know.
Okay. All right. And one more thing is the live chat rooms for every time zone that I know about that's in the US and Canada. I don't know about Europe. I don't know about the other side of the world.
Yeah. So,
but we do have the Pacific, Mountain, and the Central and Eastern because of the time when Once Upon a Time starts is combined. And I've added the Atlantic time zone because I think there are certain folks that live in the Atlantic time zone.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. And here is the chat rooms here. So, and that link will take you to a place where you can see all the different chat rooms. And so all you need to do, whatever time zone you're in, find that chat room. And even if it's a combined one, that's what you would use.
Yep.
And there, what I'm finding is there's a lot of people in the Central and Eastern, but not too many in the Pacific. I took a little peek over there and I didn't see too many, but anyway, it could change. So, one more thing. I hope, kind of like Steve Jobs now. So, I hope everybody enjoyed the music. You know, when we have a community of people,
right,
like we do, love the community,
yes,
but everyone is different. Some people like certain things. Some people don't.
That's true.
And it's just, that's the way it is. So, at 6:30, normally we turn on the musical selections, and I have my little stash of stuff, and we play music for a half hour. And I hope everybody kind of enjoys it because I really enjoy putting it together. And it's really nice because the chat room on Ustream has a chance to kind of, everyone can kind of catch up and how you doing, how was your week? And it's really, really fun. But there was a song that was sang, and we played tonight, and I want to know if anyone can tell me who whistled that song in Once Upon a Time.
So now we listen. Do we have, we don't have a sound effect for...
Well, no, now that's the one sound effect I did not have. I have plenty of sound effects, believe me. So.
There was a song that somebody
whistled.
It was
in Pinocchio.
It was in Pinocchio, and it was whistled in one of the episodes of Once Upon a Time. Ooh. And it was probably one of the earlier episodes, wasn't it?
Ooh, okay. Hawk 519 said Archie with a question mark, and that is correct. Let's hear from Archie right now.
Oh, hey. This is Raphael Sparks from the cast of Once Upon a Time. And I'm so happy to be able to call in and just say hi to everyone. We're so grateful and so thrilled to be a part of such an amazing show. And I get stopped all the time by people just sort of thanking me and saying what an event it is with their family and how they gather around the TV to watch this in a way that they don't with other shows, just because it seems to appeal to both 8-year-olds and 80-year-olds. So it has a... sort of a wide reach, it seems, and isn't it amazing the writing and what they've been able to do? That's Eddie Kitsis and Adam Horowitz, the creators. Anyway, I'm just calling to say hello, hi, thank you, and also just to say, looking ahead, we've got 3 more episodes. Really exciting things are about to happen. All of us in the cast, when we got the scripts, we raced over to when the word was, the script's out, we all ran to open it up and read it, and we're just breathless. We're as big a fan of the show, I think, perhaps, as everyone else is. We just get so excited to see where they're taking us and what's ahead. What I can tell you is that there's some very exciting revelations in the next couple of shows that, well, all 3, actually, that will give some answers, give some exciting sort of leaps forward. And then I can sort of tell you that the whole the lid will be blown off, I guess is sort of the appropriate way to say it, by the end, as you can only imagine. So anyway, I'm thrilled to be a part of such a wonderful community. The Once Upon a Time fans are so lovely and gracious and been so warm to all of us. And we thank you, and we look forward to another year ahead. We haven't heard any official word yet, but we are we're very encouraged by all the news we do here. And we look forward to so much more. Anyway, with my very best to everyone. And we'll be you'll be seeing us soon, I should probably say. Okay, cheers.
Unbelievable.
Holy crap, that was so awesome. Thank you. So ridiculously awesome.
Thank you, Raphael, so much for calling in and not only saying hi, but really kind of giving us a sense of the way it was in the cast room with the when you got the scripts. And so cool. And I know there may be some even Mass Effect 3 fans around here. And I know that Raphael has done some voice work for that game as well. So
yeah.
It's really neat. Now, this is what I would ask. And we always do this. But the last couple, we didn't have a Twitter name. So I'm going to post Raphael's Twitter name. I would really like you to take just a second, open up Twitter, thank Raphael for calling in to the @OUAT podcast, and thank him for me, please.
That'd be great.
So we'll keep talking, and if you could do that, I really, really, really appreciate it, because the cast is, as I've seen in the chat room, is amazing. Mm-hmm. They do take their time.
They do.
To really thank the fans and just continue on this great road with us. So fantastic. All right. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
Yay.
So we will now begin to dive into the emails. And they're fantastic emails tonight.
Yay.
So the first email is from sisters that watch Once Upon a Time and listen to the podcast. So normally sisters fight all the time.
Depends on the age. Depends on the age of the sisters.
Yeah. So it's Maddie and Claire. And cool. The email says, my younger sister and I completely love your podcast. We've been thinking and we came up with an alternative theory about August. You guys said that all of the references to him not lying could be Pinocchio. And I actually really like that theory, mostly because of the shin splint thing. Mm-hmm. My sister pointed out that the lying references could also be about the boy who cried wolf. That's interesting.
Hmm. Oh, interesting.
I never thought about that till just now.
That's a very interesting thought.
And she also mentioned in the sneak peek, there are a lot of wolves hanging around. So, wow.
I
did not catch that, but anything is possible.
Yeah, that's
so
very
true. That's very, very, very interesting. So thanks so much for the podcast. It's the best. Also, thank you for keeping it preteen friendly. We try our best. We try our best. And I think we succeed more than not. I really hope we got the right email address. You did.
Absolutely.
And our favorite episode was the Christmas one. God bless you. You're in a small group. But thank you for that.
Yes.
It was fun, but I always worry when we do something so different.
Well, the nice thing is, yeah. I don't think people considered it quite as bad as the Star Wars Christmas special.
I don't even want to talk about that. But it says here, that made me really happy. So I'm glad that
good.
We made you happy.
Yeah, that's good.
For us, it's 4 hours till the show, and we can't wait, Maddie and Claire. So thank you, Maddie and Claire. The boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, that is an interesting poll.
Yep.
Very interesting.
All right. And now we're going to go on to the next voicemail. And here we go. This is from Heather.
Do you mean email?
Email. Yes. Sorry.
I'm waiting for it to start and I don't hear anything.
So it says, okay, it's Heather from Maryland.
Okay.
And, oh, it's interesting. Her last name is Grimm, but she's, she enjoys Once Upon a Time. So that is something.
That's okay. Fantastic.
Great. Here's her email. From the opening scene tonight, I have a new theory on who August is. I've been in the Pinocchio camp because it seemed most likely from the clues, but none of the theories ever really stuck me as it. They either seemed really out there or too easy. If you haven't seen the beginning of The Strangers, stop reading now. I think we
pretty much have all seen that.
Yep. August struggles to get out of bed in the opening scene like his legs aren't working.
She means The Return, actually.
Yeah, The Return.
Yeah.
See, I'm just reading.
I know, but I'm just making sure because The Strangers tomorrow night.
Yep. So. Seemed like a continuation of the leg splint wooden boy thing. Then I noticed that he had a Scotty dog paperweight. And a number of people have said different things.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looked like a donkey.
Yes.
Somebody else thought it looked like a dog.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And other people think it looks like something else. So okay. I just kind of want to get that out there.
Okay.
It wasn't clearly a donkey. I mean, I can kind of see it, but I could see where people might think it's a dog.
I didn't think it looked like anything but a donkey. So maybe just my perspective was that, but I mean, I could see where it might look like a dog because of the way it's sitting, but I definitely saw a donkey.
Yeah. So
go ahead.
And I had heard someone else theorized that he was the Wizard of Oz due to the evidence like his Kansas license plate and the storm following him into town. Hmm. From all these, I've come up with the last minute theory that he's actually the Tin Man. Ooh, okay.
Hmm.
Just wanted to get this out before the episode ends in case it gets revealed tonight. And it's from Heather in Maryland. Now, very interesting because I saw the little oil cans in the shop.
Right.
In the back room of Mr. Gold's shop. So that's what I saw. And legs not working, oil. So anyway.
I can kind of see where they're going with that.
Yep.
I still say he's Pinocchio.
Okay.
And the only reason I say that is because if he was the Tin Man, and I know somebody's pulled out, well, maybe he's Pinocchio and the Tin Man, and I think I have to really disagree with, because that would be a contradiction in terms.
And another point that Heather made is that it could be, okay, if it was a Scotty dog statue, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
So I see what she's thinking. Okay.
So here's my thinking. You want to know what I think?
Okay.
I think that they're mixing up these things right now because they're throwing everybody off.
Right.
I still say he's Pinocchio, and I think that the Tin Man will show up at some point. Maybe he's working with the Tin Man.
Mm-hmm.
Just
throwing
that out.
Now, I want everyone to remember right around the time that we had discussions about who Graham was. Because remember, there was a lot of discussions that he was the big bad wolf because he said, this is my domain, when he was looking for David.
Right.
But it turns out that he was the huntsman. Right. So it is, like you're saying, there are little clues and MacGuffins and red herrings that kind of lead you off the path.
Right.
So it's kind of a classic. It's classic.
But the beautiful part about this is that I think with the show, what they've done from almost day one is they do throw these things in there and you go, oh, well, it's got to be this. But then you realize, oh, no, it's not that. It's something else. But that thing that you thought for sure was this, it'll show up later. So everybody is right on the money to pick up on these things. Don't know when we'll see them. Yeah. That's the beauty of the show.
I like my... I just got a quick saying, and I know that, you know, when people listen later, they go, who are these people you're talking to? But I just want to say, hi, Manny. Welcome to the chat room.
Yes.
There you go. Good to see you. All right. So let's go on to the next email is, this is from Amanda. It says, wow, can Rumpel's story get any sadder? I don't think so. It felt like a punch in the heart watching him lose Bay. Mm. Am I the only one who wanted to slap August at first for pretending to be Bay? You don't give someone hope just to rip it away from them. But he's sick and desperate, so I can forgive him. It was great to see a flicker of a man Rumpel was before he became the Dark One when he hugged August. That was a great scene. And I was going with it. You know, the whole forgive me, you're a bigger man than me. I was going with it. Mm-hmm, but anyway, it kind of had a twist there.
Yeah,
so.
It did.
My question is, if Rumpel was causing the curse to find Bay, why does he want to break it? And while I don't believe Sydney kidnapped Catherine, I do think he helped Regina with the whole operation. Yeah. I also love seeing Emma put Regina in her place. Well, I think a few people feel that way because as we know in stories, the pendulum swings back and forth. And so in any great story, you're going to see the bad guys win, and then you're going to see the good guys win, then you're going to see the bad guys win. So we've kind of been seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, to address one of the items in there, in this particular email, why would he want the curse broken? I don't think Rumpel wants the curse broken right now. That's why he's keeping a very close watch on Emma. That's why he's keeping Emma kind of where he can get to her. Mm-hmm. That's what that favor is going to be all about, is what I think.
Yeah.
Because he does want the curse broken when he finds Bay. He has to find Bay first, then she can break the curse, and he'll be fine with that. But he doesn't want her to break the curse too early. He wants her to be where he can get to her, and then he will call in that favor, and that's when it'll happen.
Yep. So I continue. It says, so many questions and answers in this episode. Looking forward to the rest of the season. RIP to the dude, RIP, to the dude who was turned into the snail. That was kind of sad.
Yeah, that was really sad, actually.
That was sad. And then we also saw Catman again.
Yeah.
The guy that rifles through the payphone for change.
Looking for loose change.
This guy is a sad life. This poor guy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So I will continue on. This is from Cat. All right.
Which Cat?
Slay.
Slay Cat. Okay.
Yes.
Because we have Mystery Cat too, remember?
Oh, okay.
See, we've got a couple of cats. We got to remember which one we're talking about. So this one's Slay Cat.
The bigger the community gets, we love it. It's really great. But just keeping things, it's tough sometimes.
I know. Well, that's why I'm here to help you.
Yeah, I know. Thank you. Wow. Okay. First things first. August heat to the max. There you go. There you go. August. He's still my favorite dude, man. He waxes poetic, sits down with Henry, and just breaks it down. It's really, really, really cool. Some people think he's the Obi-Wan. Some people think he's a Yoda. Either way, it's really neat. So. Great episode, lots of backstory. Mm-hmm. Definitely think August is going to turn out to be Pinocchio. You are not alone, Kat. As Melini and I have been discussing, there were a lot of hints toward this. Mother Superior counseling August on reuniting with his father. A red herring that made us think he was discussing Mr. Gold, but I think he was wondering how to approach Geppetto. Wooden donkey on the desk, etc. If August is Pinocchio, then he's probably turning back into wood, hence the convulsions in the bed, which would mean that he reverts to wood. He would die since there was no magic in Storybrooke. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's what he meant when he told Mr. Gold that he was dying. I wrote a theory about August being Pinocchio some time ago in my blog here.
Cool.
And I think that was in a comment that she left. So let me put that link here. Okay. All right. And also, I wonder where the real Bellfire is. I'm willing to bet he's now either very old or he has possibly long since passed away. I'm pretty sure Robert Carlyle said in an interview or tweet that Rumpelstiltskin was very, very, very old. So there's no telling what time period Balefire was dropped into when he entered our world. I need to stop right here. I need to say this. Now, I saw a tweet that said that Jane Espenson confirmed that August was calling Henry on the phone. Again, I did not have enough time to look up the tweet from her. Maybe somebody can do that and maybe kind of confirm that. But that's what I saw on Twitter today. So, anyway, okay. I will continue reading. If he even entered our world, if he even entered into our world or not, because Jefferson did say there were an infinite number of worlds and some have magic, some don't. Ours might not be the only one with magic. At this point, 28 years have passed since the curse was enacted. There's no telling how many years passed between the time Balefire stepped through the portal and the time the curse was enacted. And that's true. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
The amount of time? Mm-hmm. That's a tough one. That's a tough one to say. I mean, how long was it? Because when the Blue Fairy, when Rumpel was talking to the Blue Fairy, he kept asking, I need to find him. I need to go get him. There's gotta be a way. And she said, you can't do it. And when he realized it was a curse, she said, that's beyond your abilities. So how long did it take him to learn how to make the curse?
Right.
So it's really tough to say when they have these ageless characters that we don't really know how old they are. We have no idea how much time has passed. There's a lot of gaps in this, and there's a lot of assumptions we can make. So, I do think that Balefire was dropped into our world, and probably not too much before, maybe a few years, maybe before the curse was enacted. Mm-hmm. And it's tough to say. And again, was he dropped into Storybrook? I don't think he's in Storybrook right now. I really don't. I think Gold would have figured out if he was there.
Well, and here's another question. I know I'm going off on a tangent, but we are talking about the show, right. So it fits in. Sure. Is we're getting a longer list of people that were kind of pushed in or shoved in or arrived. Now, we're assuming that that's where Balefire went.
Is where?
Through
to
that
Storybrook?
Portal. Right.
Yeah, it's a Storybrooke. Yeah, we're assuming
we don't
that.
Know for
we don't
sure.
Know. We don't know.
It could have been anywhere.
Well,
the middle of the hat room. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and I was going to say that is what somebody had suggested. And I apologize. I can't remember who it was, but somebody suggested that the magic bean thing, when it opened that portal, it looked like a tornado. That's right, where a lot of people were kind of saying, oh, he's got to be, you know, Tin Man, or he's got to be the, you know, Oz.
Yeah.
What I think is that is a possibility. Maybe he did end up in, like, Oz. Mm. Maybe he will end up being the Tin Man. Who knows?
Or the wizard.
Or the wizard himself. Mm-hmm. And that the magic bean thing put him into Oz. So just like the Hatter had to go through the hat to the door that leads to Wonderland, somehow somebody's going to have to go through the hat again to get to Oz, because the room for Oz was next door.
Right.
So I'm pretty confident we're going to see Oz at some point in time. I don't think we'll see it this season. I think that'll be another season. But I think that may be where we're going to find Bay, is in Oz. That would make a lot of sense.
A few things just went off in my brain. Let me go. I'm going to try and keep moving here.
Okay.
Is that, so let's say Bay goes to Oz. The Oz area.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And becomes the Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
Henry Gale, the gentleman from whoever that flew in the balloon, right? Mm-hmm. The Wizard of Oz.
Right.
And there was really, he had no magic.
Right, he didn't have any magic.
But he granted wishes from people.
Right, right, right.
I wonder if
he gave them advice. He gave them what they needed to hear, the counsel they needed to hear. So yeah, it's plausible, because you're right. There's no magic in Oz. The good fairy, Glinda, the good witch, and, you know, the evil witch. But other than that, there wasn't really magic in Oz. So yeah, right. That's a possibility.
A flying monkey. That's kind of magical, but
well, okay.
But I kind of want to lay that out there because I was thinking about that is the son of a father who chose power over him.
Yeah.
The son would maybe want power, but not magical power.
Right.
But a kind, generous, nice power.
Yeah.
And help people. Yeah. And maybe he could use that in Storybrooke where people said, I wish I had this. I wish I had that. And he said, you already have it. Mm-hmm. So let's kind of set that up on the shelf up there somewhere.
Yeah.
So
and maybe it's a totally out in left field, you know, kind of crazy theory, but
wouldn't be the first time for me.
No. But so. What I'm saying is I don't want to discount it completely at this mm-hmm. point only because, you know, they're not following every story to the letter, so who knows what they'll change about yep. Oz, so to speak.
Sorry, Slay Cat. I just went off on a tangent there. I will continue to read your wonderful email. Sorry, but I had to get that out. Because if I don't, I'll forget. I will, and I do. Ours might not be the only world of with magic. At this point, 28 years have passed since the curse was enacted. There's no telling how many years passed between the time Balefire stepped through the portal and the time the curse was enacted. It could have been hundreds for all we know. And another thing, I keep doing this. And another, this list of people that weren't in Storybrooke is the Hansel and Gretel. So if they got there before the curse, I wonder what happened when the curse was enacted. So just tossing that out there. But if he did come to our world, and I have a few theories of what became of Bay. One, he turned out to be a Grimm brother. Blue Fairy says that there are other magic beings. Said the other magic beings got away from them. Seems to me that that's a nod to Jack and the Beanstalk. But what if Jack didn't climb a beanstalk at all, but disappeared through a bean portal?
Mm-hmm.
Bay might not have been the only person from Fairytale Land to pass through time using the beans. Perhaps he and another person from this world met up in our world somehow, somewhere, and then decided to write stories of their world under the name of the Grimm brothers. Okay. He was Aesop. Aesop's fables are mm-hmm. all about actions and their consequences. Sounds mm-hmm. like something Balefire would dedicate his life to doing, educating others on the subject of morality. That's true, too.
Yeah.
Hey, we don't hear much about Aesop much anymore.
No, we really don't.
He was another famous writer from our history, Frank L. Baum. Mm-hmm. Or he was another writer. Frank L. Baum, H.G. Wells, Jules Verne, Homer, etc. Mm-hmm. Or possibly a heroic figure, Alexander the Great, Constantine, William Wallace. Either that or he's going to be connected to Henry's bloodline somehow. Either way, I'm pretty sure he's the actual man. I'm sure that the actual man, Balefire's life has already come and gone in our world, and this could be a continuation of Rumpelstiltskin's punishment. He didn't follow behind, and now they're lost from each other for possibly forever. Well, that's it for now. Thank you very much, Slay Cat.
Yes, and thank you.
Very interesting with being all these different kinds of writers from different kinds of backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And yeah, great stuff. Great thoughts indeed.
Very, very good.
All right. I love the thinkers. We have a lot of them.
We do.
Love them. Okay, this is from Kelly. It says, it's titled August and Balefire Connection Theory. Maybe August and Balefire have met in the real world and they decide to work together after August/Pinocchio tells him about the curse and Balefire decides to work with August to get the curse unbroken from Regina and August/Pinocchio. Also tells him about his father, and Balefire sets up a plan to send August to Storybrooke through the years. Maybe August has been in Storybrooke but went undetected and kept tabs on Mr. Gold and the arrival of Emma. It would be cool if Jefferson, August, and Bay working together to undo the curse and help Emma out. Maybe Bay is the leader of the group, and he tells Jefferson and August, or just August, what to do, and he tells August about his dad's dagger. If August is not Bay, I think Bay is working behind the scenes and telling him what to do with Emma and his father. And that's a great point. It could be this mysterious anonymous person
right.
providing information for him to do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough to think. Now, so we know August is not Bay because that was proven. But is Bay somewhere outside of Storybrooke kind of controlling the other half of what's going on? So August and Jefferson. I don't know. That's a tough one. But interesting to think about.
Yep. All righty. Well, thank you so much. I don't think Kelly has sent an email in before. So no. Thank you so very much.
Nice.
We love first-time emailers, first-time voicemailers.
We do.
And we love second and 10th and 20th,
we
too.
Do. Yes, we do.
We love you all.
We love all of our community.
This is from Spidey Hawk.
Cool.
Just some small things. I imagine by Saturday these things will be brought up. But if not, Maleficent got the curse from the Evil Queen in a trade for the sleeping curse used on Snow White. Why? How? Did the Evil Queen initially get it from Rumpelstiltskin? It's still up in the air, though. The shoeshine box had shine on the side. Rumpel said about the knife, I buried it here shortly after Emma came to town. Things were changing. I didn't want to take the chance of Regina finding out. Now, the one thing I want to say about that is when we saw Mr. Gold out there digging around, that wasn't early on. So that may be the time is out of whack, meaning that even the Storybrooke scenes that we've seen aren't in chronological order.
Yes, that's true.
Possibly. I'm just throwing that out there. Because if it's not in date order, if you will, then...
Wait, Storybrooke?
Yes. Because...
I kind of think we are seeing it in order, though.
Okay. So then the question...
Fairy Tale World, definitely not. But then Storybrooke, I kind of think we're seeing it in order.
Okay. Then the question comes up is, well, then what was he digging for? Then it's still open. Maybe he's digging for the portal where Bay went through.
Yeah.
Two
options
that.
In my head that I see. When he was digging, he was either burying the dagger or trying to find the portal.
Okay. So, which was way after Emma got to town. That's kind of what
yes.
I'm saying.
Yes.
So.
It wasn't way after. It was a little while after.
Okay.
Because remember, the first few episodes were only a few days' time. It wasn't like it is now where they're spreading it out and it's been a month or so or a few weeks.
Yep.
So we're seeing how they're kind of spreading out time a little more. At the beginning, though, it was very much, it was all real close.
Mm-hmm. All right. Spidey continues. Other things I noticed, chew on this as you will. August to Henry, sometimes other priorities assert themselves. I found this interesting, but it may mean nothing. I think the thing about August mm-hmm. that really kind of stuck out to me always is he loved the word plan. That's the plan. We need to accelerate the plan.
Yes.
And also priorities.
Yes, priorities
so plan,
have changed.
Plan, priorities. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. But again, part of that is because he's trying desperately to get the magic.
Yep.
And that's really, really all he cares about is getting the magic so he doesn't turn back into a wooden boy.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to stick with that.
Another appearance of the genie's lamp in Mr. Gold's shop, as well as the Mickey Mouse phone.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lots of interesting things in Gold's back room. A magnifying glass, very well, could be Jiminy's. An animal skull, the shine box. 5 cents, it says on one side. A small weight scale, a typewriter.
Mm-hmm.
Another appearance of Dr. Sleaze. Side thought, Dr. Whale could be quite the mislead, perhaps. Instead of Monstro, he is Stromboli. Ooh.
Oh.
Nice one, Spidey. That's a good one.
Huh. Hmm. That is interesting.
Star for the day, Spidey.
I wonder what Stromboli means in Italian.
Ooh. I imagine we have an Italian person that can help
or
you.
Two, or two that could probably tell us if there is a meaning behind the name Stromboli.
Stromboli. Stromboli the puppet master, or maybe the boy who befriended Pinocchio on Pleasure Island.
Uh-huh.
And the name was...
Lampwick.
Lampwick. Yep.
Lampwick.
Nice thinking there, Spidey.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Interesting.
That's what this show is about. See, if we have the time to do the research and to give out everything, there would be no reason for you to send in an email.
Exactly.
There would be no reason to send a audio message or call in.
Yep.
We are all in this together, and we all discover together. And I think that's what makes this podcast great.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it different. Some don't understand, and they just don't get it. Say, Jeff and Colleen, why didn't you say this? Why didn't you get that? It's because we're all in this together. It's a community fan podcast. That's what it is. So, All right. I will continue reading here.
We've got some funny people in our chat room, by the way. Stromboli's an Italian dish. Alira, she's very funny. Yeah. And then Mystery Cat, Kate, says Stromboli means fire eater, according to Disney Wiki.
Hmm.
So that's interesting. Or it's an island off the northeast coast of Sicily, according to a ABBA writer. So that's interesting. Oh, yeah.
So fire eater.
Yeah.
Didn't they... Pinocchio build a fire? No, he wouldn't
inside,
do that.
Yeah,
did he?
Inside Monstro, the whale. Yeah. He built a fire to blow his tail off.
Okay, then.
Well, actually, it was Pepper, too, but anyway.
All right. If there was fire
I'm pretty
inside...
sure it was Pepper. No, Pepper was something else. It was the fire. He built a fire inside because he was on the raft, and they built a fire, and the smoke caused Monstro to sneeze so hard that he blew his tail off.
Fire eater? Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, see?
Just saying.
So that actually kind of, there you go. That's interesting.
See, that's why this show is the way it is. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
We all work together.
Yeah.
We get it done.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I better stop talking. Let's see here. Rumple 2, Evil Queen. Let's not talk about intent. Intent is meaningless. So true. Every deal is about wording, not the intent behind them. Specifics are a must.
That's what makes him a great lawyer, by the way.
Right. Well, and it is, as much as I enjoy August talking about just about anything, is I do enjoy Mr. Gold talking about the deal, the fine point of the deal.
Dude.
And it's very interesting.
He's genius at that.
He is. Absolutely.
Because I'm just going to geek out a little bit, because he did. He pointed out, she said... You said she'd be dead. No, you said you wanted something tragic to happen to her. An abduction is pretty tragic, wouldn't you say?
Well,
I love that.
And the thing is it's when you tell someone something, but you don't explain it all, and you think they understand your intent. They don't. That's why there's miscommunication, there's misunderstanding, on and on.
Yep.
So...
And again, twisting words can actually change the meaning.
Right.
An example I love to say, because one of my pet peeves is when people misquote me. Oh, I don't like that. If I say, and there's a, you know, there's a table of cheeses, table, and there's a plate of bunch of different types of cheese. And I say, can you have me the cheese that's blue? Can you get that? Can you bring that to me? I'm not talking about the blue cheese. I'm talking about the cheese, the moldy cheese. I want that moldy cheese off the table.
You're never going to live that down right
now. I know. But you know what? I'm just saying it's the fine art of just by simply saying the cheese that's blue. Can you hand me the cheese that's blue? Immediately people go, oh, blue cheese.
Yep.
That's not what I meant.
I know.
So just saying. That's why gold
Colleen
is awesome.
Colleen likes moldy cheese.
I don't like moldy cheese. Right, I'm saying I want to take it off the table because I don't want somebody eating the moldy cheese.
Okay. Excellent. Still going to follow you forever. Okay, here
Probably.
We go. So Emma to Rumple. Speaking of something we weren't talking about, Emma is on point this episode in everyone's face, and she needed to be about freaking time. Yep. Said that pendulum back and forth, back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe diagonally across, crossing her again. Very on point. I don't think Mother Superior lied to Gold. I have a feeling that instead August was talking to her about exactly what she said, laying the seeds for his own plan, knowing Gold was following. Mm-hmm. My God, boy, like a tornado. Exactly my thought, Rumpel. An emerald green, no less. Perhaps on the other side of this tornado, is how Dorothy went to Oz. I'm not saying Bay was sent to Oz, but the power that sent him to our world quite possibly opened up in a way which brought Dorothy to Oz as well. Maybe I'm just seeing what I want to see, though. I do, too. Okay. Rumpel's list of things to possibly get him to the other world when he's talking to the Blue Fairy. A realm jumper, a mage, and I swear it sounds to me like he said a time turner. I think it was a time tunnel.
Time tunnel, yep, is what I heard, yeah.
It could be tunnel. That's what it...
Yeah.
Okay. If it was Turner, though, big nod to Harry Potter fans.
Yeah.
Hermione had a time turner necklace in the Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Okay, I know this was a long one, but hopefully it gives some more food for thought. 3 episodes to go. I wonder where we all will be left at the end and what we'll be throwing stuff at our TVs come the end of the season. LOL. Thank you, Spidey Hawk. Yep. Excellent.
Very good.
Excellent. All right. Let's see here.